When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
PFF Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 17 Injury Report Edition. I'm your host, Ian Hardage, riding solo today. Usual guy, Nick Botterford, could not make it, but we always wish him the best and appreciate the hard season of work. And with that, everyone, a lot of injuries to cover ahead of Championship Weekend. Can't say enough congratulatory words to those that are still alive and kicking at this point. So anyone out there joining us live on YouTube, number one, I appreciate you. Number two, any start sit questions you have, send them. And I'll do my very best to get to each and every one of those. So again, appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, week freaking 17. Let's have a show. Let's have a day. Going to be going through position by position as always. And as always, I will have notes on all this on PFF.com. So if you miss something, don't have time to listen to the whole podcast, whatever, we got you covered over there. So with that, everyone, let's get after it. First of all, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts does seem to have a chance of returning in week 18, got back to practice this week. That's all fine and dandy, but will not be suiting up on Sunday against the Saints. He is officially doubtful with a right shoulder injury, setting up Gardner Minshew to make his second start of the season. So with Minshew now ripped off QB 10, QB 18, and most recently QB 3 fantasy finishes in three replacement starts of Hurts over the past two seasons. So he's a legit low-end QB1, guys. We know he can throw the football in an offense with a great offensive line and a top three wide receiver tandem in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I have Gardner Minshew as my QB9 on the week, behind guys like Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, and some of the goats up top, but ahead of guys like Aaron Rodgers, Mike White, Kirk Cousins, who I don't think are in offenses with the same level of firepower combined with Minshew's potential to, again, have one of these top fantasy finishes thanks to the Eagles deploying pretty much the biggest cheat code in all of football at this point with that QB sneak. With the Dolphins, Tua is going to miss this one with a concussion. That means Teddy Bridgewater will be under center here against the Patriots. So we did see Teddy actually register an overall QB7 finish all the way back in week 6. That said, in those two appearances, he only led the offense to 15 and 16 points. So Teddy in and of himself is not going to be a recommended start for us this week. He comes in just my QB19. The one big takeaway here, and look, you're starting Jalen Waddle, you're starting Tyreek Hill no matter what. But when we did have Teddy under center, guys, he really featured Tyreek more so than anyone. 29 targets for Tyreek Hill in those two games. Not Waddle, still at 15. That's a solid average of 7.5 targets per game, but really was more of a Tyreek number one, Waddle number two with Teddy under center. Again, you're starting them both. Either way, probably already spent too many words on it, but for you DFSers out there, might be a good opportunity to get a slightly less owned Tyreek Hill than normal, even though we could see even more of that sweet, sweet volume. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, not listed. He continues to deal with this right thumb and knee issue. Just realized that he is set up pretty well against his Vikings defense. Bottom four defense in terms of fantasy points per game allowed to opposing quarterbacks. I do think he is a top 10 signal caller this week. I would just barely give Rodgers the nod over guys like Mike White and Kirk Cousins. Thanks to that matchup, assuming Christian Watson is going to play through the questionable tag. I think if we don't have Watson out there, then I will give the slight tiebreaker to White and Cousins. It's very close between those three. Ravens will not have Lamar Jackson for another week. He is out once again with a knee injury. Tyler Huntley, we saw it last year. We've seen it in the preseason. The guy is, you know, like a poor man's Lamar Jackson in his ability to run around with the football, but the passing game is so devoid of anybody capable at this point. We just can't get behind him as anything more than a low-end QB2, and you're only starting him in super flex to QB formats. So Huntley, in his 5 appearances this season, hasn't finished better than the fantasy QB16. Not great, Bob. Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence, questionable with a toe injury, fully expecting to play through the pain. And we did get confirmation from Doug Peterson earlier this week, quote unquote, there's never a meaningless game, never, ever, ever. We are fully expecting the Jaguars to be playing Lawrence, ETN, and all their starters as much as they need to before this game gets out of hand. So we did see, good note from Adam Levitan, a true goat over there at Established the Run. Adam noted that Peterson did rest starters in week 17 of 2017. That said, Jacksonville does have a 6-8% chance of getting the wild card, even if they win in week 17, but lose in week 18. So 6-8% chance, not exactly the 1% chance that the Raiders obviously bought into in their decision to bench Derek Carr. So Lawrence, all these pass catchers, Travis Etienne, expecting them to get their usual run. And that's great news, guys, because Lawrence, top 10 fantasy finishes in 6 of his last 7 starts. My overall QB8 on the week ahead of that tier I've been talking about, Minshew, Rodgers, White, Cousins, among others. Speaking of Mike White, not listed on the injury report, and will take over for Zach Wilson after recovering from that rib injury. So keep in mind, I mean, we had that awesome first game of the season for White. After that, though, only led 2 touchdown drives against the Vikings and Bills in 8 quarters of football. That said, he still threw the ball enough in that former matchup to rip off another top 8 finish. So really, the big winner from this is going to be Garrett Wilson, who is locked in as a must-start wide receiver 1, had 95 yards, 2 touchdowns, 162 yards, than 78 yards despite being in Tre'Davious White's shadow coverage in his 3 games with Mike White under center. Just one of those things with Mike White where we have the talent at pass catcher, we have an offense more willing to throw the ball when he is the one under center. Again, so sad that the NFL draft's number 2 overall pick this time last year couldn't do more with this, but Mike White, feeling good about him, legit low-end QB1. I would start him ahead of guys like Tom Brady, like Geno Smith, like Kirk Cousins. What a time to be alive. Could be a sneaky shoot out here between the Seahawks and Jets. Unfortunately, we have the Cardinals quarterback Colt McCoy was practicing in full on Wednesday and Thursday. Kingsbury said he was expecting to start, but had a relapse on Friday, and he is not going to be under center, ruled out after having some more concussion symptoms pop up. So on the one hand, we're not getting Trace McSorley, which is good for the pass catchers because it seemingly can't get much worse than Trace McSorley, but we are going to have David Blau, most notably the Lions quarterback who got thrown in there on Thanksgiving back in 2019, and also a big fan of Magic, if you didn't know. That's a fun YouTube rabbit hole for any of you guys out there, but yeah, guys, it's bad. Vegas only telling these Cardinals that they're implied to score 18.75 points despite the winnable matchup against the Falcons. Then all of a sudden, DeAndre Hopkins pops up on the injury report with a knee injury on Friday after this goes down. So certainly seems like, you know, that Kevin Nash gif where he basically stands up from the wheelchair and the cast there. You know, he's not injured anymore. Hopkins basically did that in reverse seemingly after finding out that Colt McCoy won't be out there. So James Conner, who we'll get to more in a second, is such a workhorse at this point that I still think he deserves to be in fantasy lineups of most shapes and sizes. Otherwise, heavy majority of start sit questions with anybody involved in the Cardinals, I will be taking the other guy. And that goes for DeAndre Hopkins, guys. Seriously, not someone that needs to be forced into these lineups. I would play guys like Drake London, Jerry Jeudy, DJ Moore, Christian Kirk, Juju Smith-Schuster ahead of DeAndre. I don't think I could quite name 30 wide receivers to be thrown out there in front of him, but you can get pretty close. Final note, 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy still dealing with the oblique and rib issues, but he will be under center this Sunday. Meanwhile, Jimmy Garoppolo is once again out with that foot injury. So credit to Brock Purdy this year, at least 2 touchdowns, actually exactly 2 touchdowns in all 4 of his extended appearances. He's a rock solid QB2 against a Raiders team that has seemingly thrown the towel in on this season. So we know they're going to want to always run the ball in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So don't get too carried away with Brock Purdy. I would still start guys like Brady, Geno, Kirk Cousins, Mike White ahead of him. But again, my QB15, rock solid QB2, as the kids might say. Moving on to running back now, 49ers RB Christian McCaffrey not listed with the knee injury, neither is Jordan Mason. So CMC at this point, 35 consecutive non-injured or got traded in the middle of the week, games where he has at least gained 100 total yards and or scored a touchdown. So probably should be your number 1 highest projected running back on the week, continuing to fire up CMC with all the confidence in the world, even if Jordan Mason might have a couple more carries than the spoiled CMC managers might prefer. Similar sentiment is true for Chargers running back Austin Eckler. I understand the Chargers don't have a ton to play for, but he is not listed on the final injury report, and just have a hard time believing the primary touchdown scorer in this offense is going to be overly rested out there now that they are seemingly feeling better about his health. So Aaron Donald-less Rams defense, I mean, I come to you guys with a bet every now and then. I always put my hand up and say I am not one of these guys exactly, you know, ripping off the 57-58% winning percentage on bets that you need to be the profitable gambler. But Rams Chargers, that game total was only at 42.5. We've seen the Chargers with everyone healthy this year be able to put up all sorts of points, and seeing Justin Herbert look like a world beater for different stretches, and Baker Mayfield and company fresh off putting up over 50 points on a Broncos team that I get was quitting, and there were plenty of defensive contributions in that one as well. But again, only 42.5 in the Battle of Los Angeles. Give me that over. Yes, guys, championship season. Absolutely love to see it. And one guy that's helped get you there, Cardinals running back James Conner, mentioned him a few minutes ago with this workhorse role, and it is wild. Snap rate north of 90% now in four consecutive games. Has not finished outside the position's top 20 backs since returning from injury in week 9. So had an illness, didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday, back out there on Friday, continue to fire up Conner as a legit RB1. So I know the situation under center, guys, isn't pretty. That said, the low implied total, 18.75 points. Sadly, it's not even like a bottom five mark of the week. I would still play James Conner ahead of guys that simply don't have the same three down workload, like a Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, David Montgomery, Brian Robinson, Travis Etienne, amongst others. Patriots running back Ramondre Stevenson with an ankle injury is questionable. Damian Harris is not listed with a personal injury. Again, last week, guys, only James Conner, only Saquon Barkley were actually on the field more often than Ramondre Stevenson last week. I know he had that late game fumble. That was not good for the Patriots or fantasy managers. But guess what? I'm not worried about the fumble because Bill Belichick is not worried about that fumble. Belichick's exact quote: I'm not going to second guess Ramondre on what he did. Ramondre's ball security has been pretty good all year. He had two hands on the ball. They were running him back and they knocked it out at the end. So with Ramondre, guys, still the PPR RB9 on the season. His pass game ceiling is honestly higher than just about anyone not named McCaffrey or Eckler. Continue to start Stevenson in the heavy majority of start sit lineups. Appreciate the YouTube chat calling out my sick background. Yeah, guys, hanging out at the future Mrs. Tits in-laws house in lovely New York. Of course, I can't be in Ohio when we're about to take on those Bulldogs tomorrow night, but I can't exactly make all these decisions these days. But appreciate the hospitality from the lovely future in-laws, and appreciate you guys tuning in with me live all season long here. Again, any special start sick questions, let me know, folks. On the Seahawks side of things, all three running backs, Kenneth Walker, Travis Homer, and DJ Dallas, questionable with ankle injuries. So look, Walker is already expected to play. Pete Carroll does this almost every week where he lists guys as questionable and then tells us in his post-Friday practice presser that they are expected to play. So just Pete gonna Pete. But guys, honestly, last week, Walker, less practice participation, and he still managed to have 28 combined targets and carries on just 39 overall snaps. So look, again, fully expected to be out there, and he's going up against a Jets defense where, look, we know how good Sauce Gardner and company are at actually stopping the pass. Would make sense if Kenneth Walker's leaned on more than ever. I'm firing him up as the top 15 option that he has been for most of the season, albeit I know it's dropped off a little bit here down the stretch. More concerning area here is going to be Packers running back Aaron Jones. He's not listed on the final report, but that's been the case really all season long, continuing to play through all sorts of pain. Knee and ankle is what's on the issue on the injury report this week, but glute, shin, it's been one thing after another for Aaron Jones all season long, and you start to add it up, and A.J. Dillon has outscored Jones in two of their last four games. So I have them both as low-end RB2 options. It would make more sense if the Packers try to attack this Vikings defense more so through the air, where I think they are slightly more weak than they are against the run. So Jones and Dillon, I understand at this point in the year, you guys probably don't have a ton of better options to be, you know, having these close start sit decisions. But just for reference, I would start guys that I'm just more confident in getting those 15 plus carries, like an Alvin Kamara, Tyler Allgeier, Cam Akers, even. What a time to be alive, over either Packers running back. And I would put AJ Dillon ahead of Aaron Jones straight up. Interesting point I've seen this week on the DraftKings slate for you DFSers out there. Nobody's really believing in Aaron Jones. And again, I get it, coming off season low marks and snap rate and touches, hard to trust the guy at this point in time. But if we're off on Aaron Jones, shouldn't that mean we're on AJ Dillon? Ownership is not saying that so far. So for contrarian plays, helicopter plays, if you will, I do love AJ Dillon this week. From Shea Glover, have to sit one, Jamar Chase, Stephon Diggs, and Garrett Wilson. Oh my gosh, I get some of these questions, and you're in a championship round, so I'm not going to, you know, slander you with the four-team league nonsense, Shay. But out of that group, it would have to be Garrett Wilson. Yeah, hell of a problem to have. But with Jamar Chase and Stephon Diggs, we're talking about two top five guys versus eight top 12. Libby been calling out me and Jake Seeley with the fiancés, just married them girls. We got a date. We're trying to. It's going to happen, all right? But there's no rush to do it. It's still a great day to be great. You guys know how that is. But, yeah, guys, appreciate you as always. Mentioned Alvin Kamara here. He is good to go. Had a DMP with a quad slash personal reason. He also was not exactly thrilled about his third down usage, as all of us fantasy managers haven't been thrilled about this season. But he is not listening on the final report and is expected to be good to go. So even with Kamara, we just have to kind of readjust the expectations with them. And obviously we have done that throughout the second half of the season. But last week, got the overall RB9 finish. That was the first time since week 8 that he finished higher than 17. So it is the Eagles' 10th ranked scoring defense. I'm not exactly expecting Andy Dalton and company to keep this one overly close. That said, Alvin Kamara still warrants top 20 treatment, just not exactly the guy that you drafted him to be. And yeah, that is rough at this point. Eagles running back Miles Sanders not listed with that knee injury, and again had that late game fumble last week, but not expecting the Eagles to overly penalize the guy that's been leading their backfield all season long. So touch ceiling remains north of 20. I would expect him to continue to clear that as long as Jalen Hurts is sideline volume based RB2 that he has been all season long. I have Sanders ranked as my RB23. I would start the Packers guys ahead of him because we just have such a low pass game floor for Miles Sanders, but I would start Sanders ahead of guys that I think are dealing with three pronounced RB backfields with guys that are more evenly cutting things up, like the Panthers and like J.K. Dobbins with the Ravens. Let's see. Sit Najee or Dobbins for Akers? I think I would have to sit J.K. Dobbins. We had the interesting note this week from John Harbaugh talking about the situation, saying that Dobbins and Gus Edwards aren't even being limited because of their touches. This is just what we're getting in Baltimore. And what we're getting in Baltimore is no pass game usage for these running backs. Dobbins and Gus pretty much splitting things. And then unfortunately, even a Justice Hill, sometimes Kenyon Drake, making things that much more involved with three. So Najee hasn't been the prettiest this year, and Jalen Warren's going to be involved as well. But again, with similar situations, I would be taking in that one, Najee and Akers ahead of Dobbins. Yeah, man, Baltimore's run defense is stout. Pass funnel group for sure. The Ravens, the Titans, and what's the other one? I was forgetting this. Ravens, Titans. Is another great run defense that forced everyone's pass. We'll just go with those two now. But yeah, Ravens, anytime you can get the pass game guys, Deontay Johnson and company going against them, feeling good about that. Sorry, Leg Big Man. Lost Tua, Purdy, Baker, and Russell Wilson. You lost Tua, Purdy, Baker, or Russell Wilson now that Nathaniel Hackett is gone. I would be riding with Brock Purdy here. Multiple touchdowns in all four of his extended appearances. Even slid into the end zone one time on that QB sneak. Baker Mayfield, it has been a nice story, but really that Broncos defense did seem to quit. And he's just not working with that many healthy pass game weapons in his own right. So give me Purdy from that one. All right, guys, Commanders running back Antonio Gibson is out with a foot and knee issue, and that now has Brian Robinson on the top of everyone's mind. So, look, this is good. I'm just saying don't get completely carried away with Brian Robinson. He's going to settle in as a top 12 running back for me. I would start Brian Robinson ahead of guys with more backfield competition, even if it's slightly, like a David Montgomery, like a Jerick McKinnon, like a Leonard Fournette, even like a Tyler Allgeier. That said, when we start looking at Brian Robinson against Joe Mixon, Ramondre Stevenson, James Conner, you know, Josh Jacobs of the world. No, I'm going to have to go with the guys with the higher pass game floor because, look, Antonio Gibson wasn't stopping Brian Robinson from getting 20-plus touches anyway. That happened in four of the last six games with a healthy Antonio Gibson out there. What happened last week, though, was even after Gibson got injured, we actually saw Jonathan Williams come in and run 11 routes to only six for Robinson. So I don't think they'll go out of their way as much as they do for Gibson to keep him involved as they will, you know, with Jonathan Williams. But this isn't a situation, I think, where we're talking about, you know, Elijah Mitchell getting hurt and McCaffrey going from a 60% guy to like a 90%. I think Robinson probably gets maybe 3 to 5 more combined carries and targets than he would otherwise. That's great. We'll take it. But I don't think it's going to be, again, that true every down workhorse. Start him no matter what. He's just a solid RB1. So you're feeling good either way. All right. He wants to know, in the Super Bowl, three receivers should I roll with? Let's see, Godwin, Evans, Diggs, Sun God, and Garrett Wilson. We're going to go with the Sun God himself, Stephon Diggs, and then it's probably going to just barely be. Oh my gosh. All right. Full PPR. I think I almost lean Chris Godwin over Garrett Wilson. That is such a close one, though. I believe I have them right next to each other. Yeah, I do lean Godwin barely. So I go Sun God, Chris Godwin, who has 6+ catches in all but one of his non-injured games this season, and Stephon Diggs out of that group. Great problem to have, though. Texans running back Dario Ogunbowale, questionable with a knee. His absence would help out Royce Freeman and Rex Burkhead a little bit, but nothing we're overly freaking out about either way. This is still the 30th ranked scoring offense. Also, Lions running back Justin Jackson, questionable with a hip. For a second, I got excited about this. Not that I want to see anyone get hurt. You guys know how it goes. But if we do take Justin Jackson out of the equation, then we get that, you know, weeks 1-2 rotation of just Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, where I think both guys could be recommended starters as top 20 options potentially with that backfield just in themselves. Lions are implied to score more points than anyone this week against that Bears 31st ranked scoring defense. The problem is Craig Reynolds has come off IR, and I really think if Jackson is not available, unfortunately, we're going to see Reynolds having 25-30% of those snaps in his own right. So not here to say Jamal or DeAndre Swift, like, you can't start him. Again, this is a very good matchup and close start sit questions with them. Relatively, I would be taking them, you know, ahead of a lot of these Panthers running backs, Donovan Knight, Zach Moss, Latavius Murray. Give me either Lions guy. Just realized I've been waiting for that Swift role to change. It doesn't sound like that the Lions truly think he is healthy enough at this point in the season to handle a featured role. Jamal Williams a little bit banged up in his own right. Unfortunate that this Lions offense has been so good and so high scoring with everyone healthy. I would just try to stick more so the passing game when possible. Foreman or J.K. Dobbins. I just barely lean J.K. Dobbins here. And this is a situation where it's a three-back committee for him, but it also is for Deontay Foreman. So honestly, with both these guys, I think we're projecting them for around 12 to 15 carries. I will take Dobbins, despite that awesome performance from the Panthers run game last week. Jacoby Myers, Tyler Boyd, or Richie James. Going to be Jacoby Myers for me with Tyquan Thornton questionable and Devontae Parker out. Let's see. Natasha is benching Buffalo defense. That's a decent call. Should I grab Jacksonville, Miami, Pittsburgh, or the Chargers? I would go ahead and lean with Jacksonville there. Let's just fade the Houston Texans whenever possible. Good questions, everyone. Keep them coming. Real quick, though, before we continue on, gotta give a shout out to one of my favorite sponsors. I love all the sponsors, but I don't necessarily spend as much time on all of their lovely products as I do with our fine folks over at Underdog Fantasy. Guys, I know Best Ball Mania, if you guys were lucky enough to get a squad through to the finals, I had my last one die out last week. Very disappointing, but best you believe we'll be taking that home in 2023. But the gauntlet is open for drafting on Underdog Fantasy. I cannot wait to get some teams out there tomorrow, and especially in the week 18, because it's a playoff best ball tournament with $1 million in total prizes and a $100,000 first place prize. Just draft your team before the NFL playoffs start, and that's it. Drafting players that will rack up a bunch of fantasy points and advance deep into the playoffs is key to this style of contest. So again, if you haven't signed up for Underdog yet, use the promo code PFF and you'll get your first deposit up to $100 matched. Go check out the gauntlet open for drafting on Underdog Fantasy. All right, guys, some wide receiver news. Quick group of guys that we're not worried about. Stephon Diggs with the illness got back to practice on Friday. A.J. Brown had a slight knee issue, as we've seen over the years, not listed on the final report. You don't need me to tell you to start Diggs and A.J. B. in contests and lineups of all shapes and sizes, even though I've actually gotten some of these Stephon Diggs questions. Yes, these actually have been some decent, close enough ones, but that said, I still am going with Diggs every single time, just like you should too. Also, at Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper, not listed with the hip injury. Hasn't been pretty with Deshaun Watson under center. PPR wide receiver 54, 61, 44, and 31. Just realized last week he dropped a touchdown. He also had a drop or two in that Cincinnati game that weren't exactly timely. And the fourth down one killed a drive. He's still gotten some volume in these. So 9, 7, 6, and 10 targets. Unfortunately, with how the offense is playing, even relative to some of the context with the Deshaun Watson performance. Because if you look at, you know, his passer rating and his yards per attempt, it tells you he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. But once you start putting in adjusted completion rate, PFF passing grade, things that are accounting for those drops, it still tells you he's been a below average to bad quarterback. So with that in mind, Amari Cooper, unfortunately not taking the second half boom that we were hoping for, getting Watson back, more so of a boomer bust wide receiver 3 that I do think is due for a boom. That said, hardly someone you need to be jamming in the lineups of all shapes and sizes. 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel is going to miss this week with the ankle and knee injury again. Continue to trust Brandon Ayuk, guys. I know George Kittle has been hogging a lot of those touchdowns here in recent weeks, but the process, he says, the process remains right. Ayuk comes in for me as my wide receiver 20 ahead of guys like Mike Evans, Juju Smith-Schuster, Christian Kirk, DJ Moore, Jerry Jeudy, amongst others. All right, we do have Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. Questionable with the hip injury. He's been referred to as it's not being a serious injury all week, and he did get back to a limited practice on Friday. So, no, we've gone two straight games without a touchdown for Watson after he had, what, freaking seven touchdowns in his previous four games. That said, lots of opportunities, both at the end of that Rams game as well as last week against the Dolphins, where a better ball or maybe him just, you know, seeing Rodgers' little tiny signal telling him to get ready for the screen, you could have seen Watson getting back into the end zone again. So Vikings, league worst defense and PPR points per game allowed to the position. Watson is someone I am continuing to trust as the upside wide receiver too, that we've seen him be for the better part of the last 6 weeks. My wide receiver 18 on the week ahead of guys like Ayuk, Cooper, Evans, Juju, Kirk, amongst others. I would note that if Watson is sidelined, Romeo Doubs would be getting the biggest jump in usage. We've seen them be really still willing to keep Alan Lazard as more so the 1B alongside Christian Watson. But if we take away Watson, all of a sudden, we pretty much just have Lazard, Doubs, and Randall Cobb. So great stuff there in a must-win matchup against the Vikings secondary that, again, we have seen be had throughout this season. Look, Natasha, if Jalen Hurts does wind up playing, yes, I would play him over Jared Goff. It's Jalen Hurts, but it's something like over 95% of doubtful players do not play. So I would just be happy you have Jared Goff and move in from there. Do I think McKinnon will do the same thing he did a few weeks ago against Denver? Probably not to that extent. He was the PPR RB1 on that, you know, performance. So it's tough to necessarily expect that. But I still do have Jarek as a recommended start as a top 20 option. Again, it's one of these things in Kansas City where we spent so much time basically trying to figure out who was going to be the number one guy past Travis Kelce. It's turned out to be Juju Smith-Schuster. But after that, it really has been a lump of everyone. And once Clyde Edwards-Helaire left that picture, yes, it did give Isaiah Pacheco the opportunity to see these 15-plus carries more weeks than not. But Jarek really getting that pass-down role that Clyde was supposed to be drafted to have in the first place, he's been the one thriving. So especially in full PPR, I do think Jarek's going to warrant that start designation in more lineups than not. Appreciate you, Carlos. Great day to be great, everyone. Appreciate all you guys checking out another edition of the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. Keeping on, though, we got Patriots wide receiver Devontae Parker once again out with a concussion. Tyquan Thornton questionable with a knee injury. So Jacoby Myers played 100% of the snaps last week. He's going to be safe from the Xavien Howard shadow from the friendly confines of the slot. Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Agholor on the outside. There's not even going to be Jonnu Smith out there who's missing this with a concussion. So sneaky, solid DFS stack you could have going on here with the Patriots. Probably don't want anything to do with Mac Jones, but we at least have some bring back options. That said, guys, Patriots offense has totaled more than 225 passing yards one game during the past 10 weeks. So not a ton of upside. That said, Jacoby Myers in full PPR is going to warrant volume-based wide receiver 3 treatments. So when I get my handy-dandy ranks adjusted over at PFF.com and the PFF app, I see myself having Jacoby right there in the low-end wide receiver 3 conversation alongside guys like Marquise Brown, Brandon Cooks, and Adam Thielen. Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett is questionable with a hand injury. Also have Marquise Goodwin questionable with a shoulder wrist. What we say though about Pete Carroll before, after listing Lockett as questionable, he did come out and say that he is expecting to play. So one of those things where the matchup is so tough, and I don't know, guys, I had bricks for hands in high school. That's why I played defense. I am not good at catching footballs. So that said, I would imagine when you have a hand injury or a finger injury, it's probably not good going to help you catch that football, especially not when you're facing one of the best secondaries in the league with the New York Jets. So DK Metcalf continues to be the main guy that we are focusing on in the Seahawks wide receiver room. Tyler Lockett for me is not going to be more than a boomer bust wide receiver 3 option. I'll have him alongside guys like DJ Chark and Donovan Peoples-Jones where, okay, it's Tyler Lockett. We've seen him score plenty of times this year. And Geno Smith, we got the revenge game factor going on. I'm not saying you can't start Tyler Lockett, but man, close start, sit question. Give me the guy who isn't actively dealing with a hand injury. Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, again, is questionable with his knee injury. And when it happens on Friday, like not even listed on the injury report Wednesday and Thursday, that is problematic. So if Hopkins winds up suiting up, he's going to be someone that I'm going to have ahead of guys, you know, like Chark, like DPJ, like Gabriel Davis. But once we start looking at Jerry Jeudy, Drake London, DJ Moore, even Juju, I would start those guys ahead of DeAndre Hopkins due to the potential for him to be working out less than 100%. And also David freaking Black being under center here. Let's see. Steelers wide receiver Deontay Johnson, not listed with the hip injury. Low-key coming on okay here at the end of the year. Wide receiver 25, wide receiver 11, and wide receiver 37 finishes in full PPR scoring over the past few weeks. Last three matchups against the Ravens, 105 yards, two touchdowns, seven catches, 51 yards, and more recently, six catches and 82 yards. So rock-solid volume-based wide receiver three. Maybe, just maybe, my mans can find the end zone before the end of the season gets here. Can't fully blame him, though. Life inside of the Steelers' 29th ranked scoring offense. Couple more start sits here. Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. I do have Justin Fields. Shootout against the Lions and that sweet, sweet rushing upside. But good job on having two of my top eight ranked quarterbacks. Let's see. It's a big game in Detroit. Yeah, man. Detroit, Chicago looking freaking good there in the dome. Jared Goff splits, man. I was talking about those on the game by game preview pod a little bit earlier this week, but it is wild just how much more productive Goff has been in the domes. Albeit, we do know that he has had way more games in the dome, so keep that in mind. Our guy Tenzin wants to know, Foreman, Olave, or Dotson in 0.5 PPR. That's where I would lean towards Foreman. Again, we're not getting the full point PPR, so Foreman isn't being quite as penalized. With Chris Olave, if I was 100% sure Olave was healthy and the matchup wasn't brutal against the Eagles, you know, consensus top five, top 10 ranked secondary, I'd feel good about it. But it's a hamstring injury coming back from it in a Saints offense that I actually, this is great because Chris Olave was my next person I wanted to talk about. I mean, Olave's been awesome this year. You can look at his yards per route run, and he's been among the top five best rookie receivers since 2015. But this entire passing game has surpassed 250 yards two times all season, only once since they sat Jameis on the bench after week three. So if I knew there were absolutely no problems with Olave, that'd be fine. But he is questionable with the hamstring injury in a really tough matchup against the Eagles. So it's tough. If it was full PPR, maybe we do go more so with Olave. I slightly lean with Deontay Foreman. C-Mac Gold asking me, how do I rank and choose the kickers? Oh man, you know what I do with my kicker rankings? I revert straight to the great Nathan Yonke, famed PFF, you know, Fantasy Pros expert ranker, and I let him do that. I actually have a clause in my PFF contract. I am not required to talk about kickers. So I appreciate you tuning in, C-Mac, but yes, we do not discuss kickers here on the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. Also a message from Victor. Christian Watson, if he plays, DJ Chark, Cortland Sutton, or Michael Pittman, pick two to start here. Definitely Christian Watson if he plays. And then if he doesn't, I would have to go with DJ Chark and Michael Pittman. I know Sutton kind of got something going last week, and he's been a little better since returning from the hamstring injury. But that said, it's still this Broncos offense, guys. Dead last in the league in scoring. If Jerry Jeudy, who is questionable, and this is awesome, you guys are asking me questions that are taking me right down my show sheet here. Jerry Jeudy, who is questionable, if he's out, then all of a sudden, I do think we could probably wrap our minds around starting Sutton over Michael Pittman, because let's face it, you know, looking at that Colts Nick Foles or Sam Ellinger led offense, nothing good going on there. But I would rank them, assuming Jeudy plays, which I think he will, Christian Watson, DJ Chark, Michael Pittman, and Cortland Sutton. And I really appreciate the ban kickers sentiment going on here. You guys know how we roll here on the PFF Fantasy Pod. Last thing though, Chris Olave is ruled out. Don't sleep on Rashid Shaheed. Actually keeping on, keeping on. Was on a hell of a hot streak last week. Obviously had to deal with the brutal weather conditions in Cleveland. But remember, Shaheed would be someone for me leaping up into that low-end wide receiver three conversation. I still think I would start guys like DPJ, Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen ahead of him. But when we start looking at Shaheed against Marquise Brown, Romeo Dobbs, Josh Palmer, I would lean with the rookie. speaking of the weather, gave a lot of love to, you know, Kevin Roth and the guys that they, and the whole crew. I think it's mostly just him over at Roto Grinders and the their Weather NFL team. Checked it out this week, and we have absolutely no concerns. There's four matchups in the green where, okay, we might have some light rain, might not be the warmest matchup in the world, but on a scale, green is the one that we really don't need to make any adjustments about. So just goes to show you the week-to-week league nature of the NFL, how much things can go from being absolutely wild one week to absolutely fine in the next. For my guy Victor, Tyler Allgeier, Ramondre Stevenson, or Alvin Kamara, pick two to start in full PPR. I'm going to go with Stevenson, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but we are going to ride with Tyler Allgeier just barely over Alvin Kamara because Alvin Kamara doesn't have the pass game role that was supposed to make him Alvin freaking Kamara, averaging the least PPR points per game of his entire career from purely receiving production, and with him apparently not fully healthy in his own right, give me the rookie Tyler Allgeier, top 10 and pretty much any rushing metric you want to bring up. Like, this hurts me to say, guys. You got the guys leap my guy, Cordero Patterson, on the depth chart, and I can't even be mad. He's just been better than him, honestly. Now, I would like to think the, you know, Falcons don't need to be playing whatever the hell a Parker Hesse is, their second tight end ahead of Cordero Patterson, but that's a story for another day. Ravens wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson not listed with that groin injury. DeSean Jackson not listed with his illness, so that's good news. That said, guys, Tyler Huntley led Ravens passing game, 187 yards passing, 88, 138, and 115 in his four extended appearances. So we are not gonna worry about anyone in the Baltimore Ravens passing game except Mark Andrews, and even then, it's such a sad situation. How can you feel good about that at all at this point in the year? Couple more here in the wide receiver that are not all that consequential. Ashton Doolin out with a concussion. Should have Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell, and Alec Pierce now fully ingrained in three wide receiver sets. But it's Nick Foles, who is freaking horrendous on Monday night, or Sam Ellinger, who might actually be one of the few quarterbacks out here who could produce an even worse version of this offense. Pittman, volume-based wide receiver three. Otherwise, I want nothing to do with that passing game, as you can probably understand. Bears wide receiver Chase Claypool, questionable with a knee. Dante Pettis, questionable with an ankle. Equanimeous St. Brown should be back from missing a game with a concussion. Byron Pringle, Velus Jones, and N'Keal Harry will be the starting three wide receivers. If Claypool and Pettis are out, Equanimeous probably switching in too. At the end of the day, the matchup is perfectly winnable. I get that. But Justin Fields, fewer than 200 passing yards in all but two games this season. I would probably have to ride with... If Claypool and Pettis are out, I would give Pringle and Jones the benefit of the doubt. But even then, we're talking about wide receiver four, wide receiver five options at best. I think you guys can understand that I'm not recommending to start any Bears pass catchers. If you cannot all help it with the fantasy freaking championship on the line. Drake Holiday, our guy in the chat, though, is calling for a N'Keal Harry breakout game. So, Drake, if you're right on that one, kudos to you. I am not going to be, you know, back in the N'Keal Harry breakout game in week 17, though. Buccaneers wide receiver Julio Jones, questionable with the knee issue. If he is going to miss this, just expect some more air yards for Mike Evans and Scotty Miller. We do have J.C. Horn out for the Panthers, so my God, if there is ever going to be a time for Mike Evans, God forbid you somehow drag your fantasy team to the playoffs after spending a, you know, early round pick on the guy, 11 straight games without a touchdown for Mike Evans in 2020 and 2021. His streak without scoring a touchdown with Tom Brady under center, two freaking games. To say he's due would be an understatement. Maybe the regression gods are just falling asleep at the wheel when looking at Mike Evans, but I'm not saying you need to start him, but I am firing him up as a borderline wide receiver too, hoping that at some point this talent's going to win out in a must-win game for the Buccaneers. That said, Chris Godwin and to a slightly lesser extent Leonard Fournette, only true must-start options in Tampa Bay. Lions wide receiver Josh Reynolds not listed with that illness. Only main point here is that he's going to continue to keep Jameson Williams away from fantasy consideration. And Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman had a setback, will not be returning. So in that Chiefs wide receiver room, don't sleep on Juju Smith-Schuster, okay? I know last week was a dud, but especially on DraftKings, I mean, the dude's still only like 5.7K. Has been a wide receiver one more weeks than not in this offense when he hasn't been dealing with the concussion. I mean, he's freaking 3 weeks removed away from going for like 75 yards in a tutty against this very same Broncos defense. So last week it was Juju, 83% snap rate. Justin Watson was at 74. MBS, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore all rotating as the complementary pieces. So in KC, we have Kelsey, Juju, McKinnon, Pacheco, and obviously the man that it all revolves around, Patrick Mahomes. Don't get too carried away. Otherwise, How are we feeling about Taysom Hill this week? Yeah, not as great. You know, if we were going to have Alvin Kamara out, then that could maybe make you think that we were going to see them really lean on him in the run game, but not going to be backing him as heavy as we were last week. Let's not forget, guys, Juwan Johnson has actually, I didn't check for this week, but going into last week, Juwan Johnson had outscored Taysom Hill on the season. Just not a package that they've been consistently firing up a reckless abandon. So I'm not saying you can't start Taysom. I think he's going to settle in as my tight end 11 or tight end 12 this week, but I would start guys like Pat Freiermuth, David Njoku, Evan Ingram, Tyler Higbee, Andrews, Goddard, Schultz, Hockenson, Kittle, Kelsey, starting all of them over our guy Taysom. But I'm happy he did cash in on that over 35 and a half rushing yards prop last week and help us out with finding the end zone at least one time. Moving right on to tight end, Hunter Henry is questionable with a knee injury. Jonnu Smith is out with a concussion. So with Henry, we can put him up at the ranks a little bit more in that tight end two conversation. Maybe he actually would be right there with Taysom Hill if he does wind up playing. Again, just realize Patriots passing game, more than 225 total passing yards. One time in the past 10 weeks, Henry himself just two scores all season, zero games with more than 70 receiving yards. So one of those situations where it is a nice bump, impossible to say otherwise, also doesn't necessarily make him someone you need to be jamming into fantasy lineups. Bills tight end Dawson Knox, Bengals tight end Hayden Hurst, fully expecting both of them to suit up on Monday night. Good news for Hayden Hurst getting back. He practiced in full on Thursday. We're not going to have those final injury reports until Saturday. But if we do see Hayden Hurst completely off the injury report, no questionable tag, I think you can start sliding him into that lower end tight end two conversation. But even then, I'm going to have him ranked right next to Dawson Knox, who's currently tight end 18. So would really like to think you have better options out there. Rams tight end Tyler Higbee is questionable with his knee injury. It was an interesting situation because he missed some practice earlier this week with a personal flag. I saw a tweet earlier about it. Okay, here we go. Underdog. I'm sorry. It's an elbow injury. That's on me. We're rolling with the punches here. Underdog NFL, my favorite freaking news source out there, said he is listed as questionable with the elbow, but expected to play in week 17. So with Higbee, guys, he leads the Rams in targets since Baker Mayfield got under center. The duds that we've seen from Tyler Higbee have come when they've used him more so as a blocker, which makes sense. If you guys have seen that offensive line throughout this year, but when he is out there just reaping in that target volume against a potential, against a Chargers defense that will be without Derwin James with a concussion, Tyler Higbee for me is a top seven tight end on the week. Only guys I would start ahead of him: Mark Andrews, Dallas Goedert, Dalton Schultz, TJ Hockenson, George Kittle, and Travis Kelce. Seahawks tight end Will Dissly is on the IR with a knee injury. Got me excited about Noah Fant. He is dealing with a knee injury, but not listed as well. I would say, though, we have Colby Parkinson also in the fold. And while we do see with some defenses like the Jets, you know, real strong outside corners, but you can also attack them in the slot. Not exactly that way with the New York Jets. I mean, they are just honestly really strong all over the place. So it's not exactly a smash spot for Noah Fant. I still think he deserves top 15 consideration this week. We've seen him continue to flash the sort of ability that made him a first-round pick back, 4 years ago or whatever. That said, New York Jets defense, only two touchdowns to opposing tight ends all season. That is tied for the third lowest mark in the NFL. Colts tight end Kylan Granson is out with an ankle injury that helped Jelani Woods have a kind of boom. I mean, he caught three passes for 43 yards last week, but it's a tight end position and it's the Colts passing game. It looks good. So honestly, Jelani Woods, Mo Alie-Cox, okay, it's another thing where, yeah, you take Granson out of it. We're bumping them up. If you want a cheap guy in DFS, okay, go get Jelani Woods. That's fine. That said, please try to do something else at your tight end position with the fantasy championship on the line. Same thing goes in Denver. Greg Dulcich hitting the IR. Maybe we get an Albert O appearance. That'd be great. More likely, Eric Sauber, Eric Tomlinson. Going to continue splitting things up. Don't trust any of them in fantasy, and don't trust Panthers tight end Ian Thomas if he gets a bigger role should Tommy Trembles get put on this inactive list with that hip injury. Final two notes. I mentioned before, Derwin James is out with a concussion. Joey Bosa is tentatively expected to return. Brandon Staley wouldn't 100% confirm it. We'll find out on Saturday, but the way Bosa was talking, guys, and you know anyone's idea of a top five defensive lineman in the NFL, he was basically saying that he got the surgery and now he can do things like bend over and, you know, squat down and not be in pain. So kind of scary to think that Bosa over these past few years has been playing a lot more banged up than any of us realize. So getting a healthy version of that, obviously great news for the Chargers and accordingly bad news for Cam Akers and the Rams offense. That said, this Chargers defense, even last year with Joey Bosa, wasn't exactly stopping, you know, each and every run offense they came across throughout that season. So honestly, Joey Bosa coming back into action, it's not ideal for Cam Akers and everything, but who knows, guys? This is his first game since week two. Maybe he only plays 15 snaps anyway. I'm not overly downgrading anybody involved. I honestly think losing Derwin James and now feeling even more confident about Tyler Higbee playing through his questionable tag, that's the main takeaway here. Final note, and this is, I think, reasonable enough to give DJ Moore a nice little bump up. This Buccaneers secondary is decimated. Carlton Davis doubtful with a shoulder injury. Jamel Dean is questionable with a toe. Antoine Winfield questionable with an ankle. Mike Edwards questionable with a hamstring. So we're talking two key cornerbacks and two key safeties, all either out or going to be at the very least banged up against DJ Moore and Sam Darnold, who have scored, connected for touchdowns in three of their first four games together this season. So still an incredibly run-heavy offense in Carolina. I'm not saying DJ Moore is a must-start. What'd he do in the fourth game that I just so nicely decided not to mention? He completely goose-egged on us. So that is a very real possibility with DJ Moore and Sam Darnold under center. That said, he comes in as a top 24 wide receiver for me, ahead of guys like Drake London, Deontay Johnson, Michael Pittman, with similar situations under center that we don't absolutely love. And yeah, guys, I'm going to be, hang out here another couple minutes. Any other questions on your mind, live YouTube chat, send them my way. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Any guesses as to who the Saints quarterback will be next season? Probably not Jameis, which really pains me to say. I think they got to quit pretending that they're like a legitimate contender right now. I understand very recently that was the case, but the overall roster, I mean, the defense not having Lattimore this year hasn't helped, but I don't think they're exactly championship quality. And the offense, I mean, one injury after another to the wide receiver room hasn't helped any matters, but paying all that money to Alvin Kamara, I don't think they need to completely tear things down, but I would not be surprised at all if we see them trying to trade up in the draft or just having a bottom 10 pick in their own right and being able to get one of, you know, who we say, Bryce Young, Will Levis, CJ Stroud, maybe Anthony Richardson. Those are going to be the four guys probably in more first round mocks than not. That would be my guess for them. Tenzin saying it, probably a free agent, maybe Minshew or Jimmy G. I will say, guys, I was looking at the, when the Derek Carr situation happened and I was doing a stream over there at Bleacher Report, just looking at some of the available quarterbacks of free agents in 2023. It's going to be a fun cycle here. And it's kind of been that way over the past few years with quarterback movement happening more and more often, these guys making these wild trades and this and that. But if you really do go ahead and look at all the free agents available, I mean, not saying they're all going to make it there or anything, but Lamar Jackson is going to be there. Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe we get Geno Smith all of a sudden getting an opportunity to show off for some of these teams. Tom Brady technically is going to be someone available. Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Jacoby Brissett. Like, okay, maybe I'm putting Brady that close to Jacoby Brissett, maybe not exactly fair in the situation, but truly a lot of guys that you don't even have to pay for, not don't have to trade for, I should say, that are going to be on that open quarterback market. Should again be another fun NFL offseason. Shea's got inside knowledge that Peyton's going back and taking Brady with him. That would be absolutely wild. Again, very much looking forward to all that going on. Jaguars or Chiefs defense. So for me here, they both have layup matchups for the most part. Let's face it, the Broncos, I believe, have been a bottom five unit in the entire NFL in terms of you want to play the DSTs facing them. I actually think the Chiefs are better than the Jaguars straight up. So Houston, Denver, that's kind of a wash for me. And then it comes down to who's better, Chiefs or Jags? Give me the Chiefs there. Gronk and Brady going to Vegas, that would be great. Like, come on, if Gronk's going to come back to any city, wouldn't it make sense that it is Vegas? And if there's one way to make that man Davante Adams healthy, certainly would be that as well. Is Jameis a trade or a drop? I don't know, man. And look, I fully understand, Kevin Cole, when we were still able to pod together, brought up just like how crazy Jameis must make his own coaches with the way he plays. And I totally get it. It's very fair. And it's probably not responsible for a team to bet their future around Jameis being their quarterback. But can we all just agree that he is one of the most fun quarterbacks to watch for better and mostly worse on Red Zone? I mean, that's it. Football is more fun to watch for Jameis. I get it. Probably not if you're you're a fan of his direct team. But hey, that's not the case for, you know, 31 out of 32 of us out there. So free Jameis. Ingram or Njoku, I am leaning Ingram. I am as well. Have them ranked right next to each other. So, you know, it's a very fair question. But yeah, just at this point, I have way more confidence in Trevor Lawrence in that Jaguars passing game than I do with Watson and Cleveland. From Joe, Cole Kmet, Higbee, or Darren Waller. The problem with Darren Waller, I know he's had these two games, and obviously now with Jared Stidham under center, that's an entire different issue, but they're really easing him in. He's not even getting to run a route on over 60% of the offense's dropbacks, still very much rotating him, even with Foster Moreau out there. So Cole Kmet is set up well this week, but for me, it's going to be Tyler Higbee, knowing the elbow's not an issue, knowing he's back to getting that near every down role that made us be fans of him in that late round conversation in the first place all the way back in August. Tyler Higbee for me. Praying for a good Pittman game, also to ship. Guys, go win those freaking fantasy championships. No better feeling. Okay, there's one better feeling in the world. Like, number two best fantasy feeling is winning that championship. Number one best feeling is having your back against the wall in the loser punishment championship in week 17 and finding your way out of that one. So just goes to show, you know, winning everything is great, but not being the complete butt of the joke somehow even better. And yeah, all right, guys, think that's going to wrap everything up. Again, can't thank you guys enough for tuning in with me throughout the entire season. We are going to have a new schedule rolling forward next week and beyond. Going to have some PFF Fantasy Football Awards and just won't be looking quite as closely, just at the week-by-week matchups, obviously with the fantasy season sailing on past us. So really want to go through and do some review posts. I think quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Try to figure out what we've learned, the position, how we can get better next year, things like that. Some of the, you know, just trends I've hit and all that. So yeah, again, thank you guys for tuning with it. I know we've had to kind of adjust the pod strategy and everything throughout the year, and that is something I apologize for, but just not everything exactly in our control here throughout the season. So that said, you know, we'll just watch the film, get better. Always a great day to be great. Very much excited to get, you know, some more consistency here moving forward, get some guests rolling back in the rotation, maybe get some new talent here joining up at PFF and making more great things happen. So again, happy holidays, happy new year. Thanks again for tuning in to PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. And until next time, take care, everybody.